Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 through 13. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Notice with me, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Jesus did not get up and change seats. He didn't leave the house. Publicans and sinners came to Jesus. That's what the world needs to do. It's not the church's position to chase people to come to Jesus. It's the responsibility of people to come to Jesus. That old song says, come as you are. Come as you are. The church prays, the church asks God's favor and asking Him to send forth His spirit of revelation and understanding to people's hearts and lives. But totally, it's up to people to make that choice to come to Jesus. Now, verse number 11 says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? These are people that are speaking from religion. Religion will cause you to live in a very tight, stiff position.
Come on.
Without relationship.
Come on.
And so they're asking this question, why is he eating with these publicans and sinners? I remember, seems like another lifetime ago, when I was preaching one of my first revivals. It's still stuck in my mind. I was preaching the revival, and the pastor the next day came by the evangelistic quarters where I was staying and said, Brother Cox, that was a good message. That was a good message. He said, but they wasn't Republicans, they were publicans. Maybe the Republicans needed it too. I don't know, but throw in the Democrats in there as well. Verse 12. And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Why would you go to a natural physician when you have got a disease and a sickness in your body, but you stay away from Jesus who wants to heal your soul? Why doesn't people want to say, I want to be healed inside of my life, my spirit, my soul, to be healed? And if we are detected to have a disease and or a bad cold, this flu business has been going around, and it boggles my mind. They'll say, well, the flu shot this year is really not going to do you a whole lot of good, but everybody should get it. Everybody should come to Jesus. Everybody should come to Jesus because He will make you whole again. Now, that word whole is not taking care of the specific problem of your need, but it takes care of all of you from the top of your head to the very sole of your feet. When it talks about you will be made whole, that is mentally, physically, spiritually, everything. Everything about you. Verse 13, Jesus is speaking. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He calls sinners to repentance. We may look at people on the outside and we do not discern what the inside is. Scripture tells us that God looks on the inward while man looks on the outward. God is looking for people. And he looks at their heart, the substance that makes everything that they are. My wife, and I like to sometimes go into the secondhand stores. I've never been into like a secondhand furniture store or a place. You ever been at one of those places? Come on, don't look at me like that. You're not that good. You can go into those stores, admit it. You get bargains in there. Well, not me, I don't. Our house, a few years after we were married, was furnished with early American. The earlier the American you became to a yard sale, the more good bargains you would find. We'd find good bargains then. You see, in certain stores that you or I or my wife may have frequent, there is a little section of merchandise that is usually a good deal. It's in fact, I could call it, sometimes they're just great deals. The prices are usually several dollars less than the exact same item you would find in the regular store that would be selling the top line, et cetera. Or maybe it is gone out of being fashionable, but yet it's in very good shape, and here it is back in the clearance area. The tip-off usually is two words. It's a phrase that you see on a tag. In fact, you might buy something in the classified ads. You may find it on Facebook classified, and I've seen it before. This little tag or this little saying that's there, that's hanging on it or labeled with it. Little tag says, as is. You ever saw that tag, as is? Yeah, you buy it as is. Sometimes it's called slightly irregular. I've known some people like that. Sometimes they are called seconds. But whatever you call this by any other name or saying, it could be a damaged good. Something that has a nick on it. Scrape on it. It's damaged. Possibility you can have a problem with it. In other words, that tag that says as is says it's irregular. It's not a normal good shape. So we are not going to tell you where the flaw is. You're going to have to look for that yourself. But we know that it's there. You may be sitting here this morning with a flaw, and we're not going to point your flaw out, so you can kind of breathe a sigh of relief, okay? I'm not going to do that. The fact is that you know it's there. You know that there's a flaw in your life. If you're looking for the perfect, you would have to walk down another aisle to another section of the store. You have received a fair warning. If you truly want this item, you must take it as is. The church, the body of Christ, takes people as is. Not looking for the scrape or the dent in your life or your spirit. If you have ever dealt with another human being in your life, you will notice that you have to come to the point at looking at people as is. Think for a moment about someone in your life, maybe the person that you know best and maybe you love the most. If you were honest, you would have to admit that that person is slightly irregular. And I'm not talking about your husband or your wife here this morning. I'm just saying maybe there's somebody that you know. And dealing with this perfection, if you walk down a people aisle, you are in the wrong place if you're looking for things that everybody is just perfect. We all want to be normal. Can I get a witness on that? We just don't know what normal is. We just don't know what normal is. But the writers of the scripture insist that no one is normal. At least not as God describes normal. One way he describes it in the scriptures, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. I like what someone said. He said, I have been confronted for more than 20 years by the thought that Jesus welcomes not only sensible sinners, but stupid ones as well. Doesn't make any difference. That is what I want to see today, because Jesus came into the world and saw sin as it really is. If anybody wants to understand sin, it is Jesus Christ. It is God manifested in the flesh that understands sin and knows what it's about. Many times in the scriptures, when he confronts sins and understands what it is and knows it, he might tell them, go and sin no more, because he doesn't want them to sin. But he was never so blind by their sin that he did not see the good in them. Qualities that were worth saving or worth redeeming in your life. You know people, and we have some good friends of ours that goes out and buys things at garage sales, yard sales, furniture type stuff, and takes them back and scrapes it all down and takes it down to the bare wood. And that's how God does to us sometimes. He gets us to a place, he takes us down to the bare reality of life. And then he reworks us and refinishes it. And when they get done with a table or a chair, and it's all redone and refinished, then they sell it for a wonderful price, a good margin in it. But it took some work to take the damage to make it worthwhile. When you become a follower of Jesus, you see, when it says go make disciples, it is telling everyone in the body of Christ that you are to help people to become followers of Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a week or a month. It takes time for God to rework us, to change our thinking, to remove the habits that we have. He forgives us when we're baptized in his name and his spirit fills us, but then he works on us. He shapes us and he molds us to the will and the likeness that he would have us to be, and that takes sometimes months, sometimes years it takes to do that. In the text that we've read this morning, the question is asked, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus hears that and he says in response, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He's looking for the imperfect, the blemished, the hurting, the sorrows, the heartaches. I want you to see something about Jesus. What I want you to see this morning about Jesus is his attitude towards sin, and then his attitude towards the sinner. And in order to do that, let's look at three people at their encounter with Jesus. The first one I want to share with you this morning quickly is the Samaritan woman found in the Gospel of John chapter 4. In fact, I won't take time to read it, but it's John chapter 4, the Gospel, verse 1 through verse number 42. Jesus is going against tradition. Jesus always goes against religion. Because religion doesn't become flexible enough. I don't want to be in religion. I want to be in relationship. Because religion will close you off. If you do this and you do this and you do this and you do this, everything is going to be okay. It's not only that you do this, but you come in a relationship with the one who makes the changes in your life by his Spirit and by his grace and by his mercy. Jesus was a great community builder. He understood what it was to see people with their as-is tag. And then he accepted them anyway. He accepted you as you were. Amen? Amen. Yes, he did. He accepted you as you were. And his acceptance, he made us what he wants us to be. So this morning I want you to see Jesus, the attitude he has and the relationship between the sin and what he can make out of the sinner, the brand new person. And so this woman that was in Samaria, a woman who was tired of being everybody's gossip, tired of being abused and the object of jokes by the respectable people that lived in her town. Her as-is tag was big enough for everyone to see, and she surely was the topic of discussion like you can't believe. So to get away from that, she had come to the well at noonday, expecting no one else to be there to read her tag. But to her surprise, she found someone, a Jew of all the people. She lived in a Samaritan community. She looked at Jesus, but didn't say a word. Quickly, she went about her business to draw water from the well and lowering the bucket down into that well and drawing the water, cool, clear, clean water. She felt a presence that was staring at her, and he wasn't staring at the tag as is. When you read the account, you realize how skillfully Jesus tore down all the barriers. Gradually, Jesus is not here, never has been, never will be, to tear you apart. He's here to diagnose the problem and says, I am here as a good physician of your soul and of your life to heal what's ever wrong with you. Here in heaven's holiest being, here is Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Here he stands in the presence of an object of jokes, poor reputation, knowing about all the immoral things that was done in her life. But Christ sees something in her beautifully and worthwhile. God always will look for the best in you in the worst of the conditions that you live in. Think about it. For the first time since her childhood, this woman was seeing kindness and gentleness and love. So excited was she about this that she left behind her water pot at the well and rushed back to the city of tag readers. Come and see a man who's told me everything about my life. You see, the doctor will take you through some tests to diagnose the condition. She said, you got to come and see a man who told me everything about my life. Amen. Jesus was diagnosing the problem of the sin matter in her life. She went back to the tag readers and said, come on, you've got to come and see this man. You've got to come out and see him. He told me everything. And perhaps that's the hardest thing in the diagnosis that Jesus makes in life. He wants to speak to us and he reminds us of who and what we are. And then he says to you, I want to fix the problem. I want to heal the situation. I want to change the atmosphere that you're living in, the very existence of your mind. I was listening to a broadcast earlier this morning on the radio. And in fact, it was a testimony. And the person was saying, I was so scared that they said it could be cancer, and the diagnosis was not complete, but the fear was there. The being scared of that word cancer was there, and so it just, there was just this upheaval in the spirit, and then I heard her say they took more tests and a CAT scan, and she said these words, I can't believe, I just couldn't believe when they told me. Now here's the question, I couldn't believe when they told me that I had no cancer. I couldn't believe them. You're sitting here this morning and you can't believe that God will forgive you of your sins. God will cure you of your past. He will heal your mind and heal your spirit. You say, I can't believe it. And the world says, I can't believe it that he would do that for me. Yes. Yes, he will. Stop your disbelieving it and believe him. Set your water pot down at the well because the Spirit of God you felt in worship and in praise this morning tells you that there is hope. And there's life. Yeah. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50. I won't take time to read it, but it's a woman at Simon's house. This is the second as is tag we look at today, is found in this scripture. You see, Simon was a very influential, a very important Pharisee. He invited Jesus to his home to eat. We don't know why, but he did. Maybe it was because Jesus had gained some notoriety, and so he wanted to get somebody famous in his house. Said he see him sitting with Jesus. Sometimes people just want to associate with church just so people know that they go to church. Maybe it's to strike up a business deal, get some networking going and something positive, whatever it is. As they were eating, a woman of the street came into the home of Simon, fell at the feet of Jesus. You know the story, I'm sure, and anointed his feet with her tears and then with perfume from this container that we heard this beautiful song about. She had no napkin, no towel. She used her own hair to dry his feet. And I could have seen her as she is pouring that oil and wiping his feet and all of this. The very house that Jesus was sitting in by invitation became so disgusted. Simon was so angry and he said to himself, if this man were really a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman she is. If those people at Community Life Center really knew the people that they're letting into their doors, into their church, if they really knew, we do know. Because such were some of you. For such were some of you. And the door was open to the presence of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Come on, open up the box. Come on, open up your life. Oh, God. What about the church today? How many of us have fallen short of the glory of God and deserve to be put to death? Maybe we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Maybe we need to look into his eyes and see someone who will look at us and not read the tag as is.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, as is. Zacchaeus, a man of great wealth and dignity, decided to do the very uncool thing of climbing a tree so that he could catch a glimpse of Jesus. I've always thought that this was one of the most ridiculous stories, perhaps, in the Scriptures. There is Zacchaeus, a grown man, climbing a tree, perched on a branch. I know he was short in stature. I realize he probably couldn't see over the heads of the crowd that was following Jesus. But then you got to look at his heart. He just wanted a glimpse. He wanted to see what all the fuss was about. He wanted to see what all the noise was about. There's people that just wants to feel. Just wants to get a glimpse of this thing called the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. We come in and say, I've known him for 20 years or more. Hey. No biggie. No. It's a biggie if you're dying in your sins. It's a biggie if you're dying in your self-righteousness. I can't preach it this morning. When God says so, but can I just give you a glimpse of something?
Come on, man.
I got two of you. I want to hear it.
Come on.
This is good. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is good. This what's coming is going to be good. Come on, tell your neighbor. Judy, tell her. So this is good. The anti-venom for a poisonous snake. Most of the time, you can look it up, is from the blood of a lamb. Oh, I can hear the wheels cranking. It's a particular kind of a lamb that they take the blood and make the serum for anti-venom. The blood of the lamb that heals the serpent's bite of sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why if you want your sins taken care of and the anti-venom against sin is be baptized in the name of Jesus, that's where the blood is applied. Anti-venom of sin and defeats the snake. The serpent,
yeah.
Slewfoot,
yeah.
Beelzebub,
yeah.
Satan.
Amen.
I'll get back to that message at another time. My God. My God. Slip your hands right now. Come on. There's a visitation of the Spirit of God here right now. There's a presence of God here right now. Come on, church, throughout this congregation. Come out this congregation, throughout this congregation. It's amazing what happens in our heart when we know someone has seen our tag and accept us as is. So here we are this morning. We've been in the presence of the Spirit of the Lord, the singing, the worship. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Everybody here has broken the law at one time or another. Our tags are big in the plain view of everyone who sees them. There's no way to hide the as is. All have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. We are all guilty. We deserve to die without hope. We deserve to die in misery of our sins, but Jesus stands at the well, and you sense his presence. You know what he's staring at. He's staring at that tag. He happened to go down the aisle. The aisle of clearance. When the devil gets done with you, he's done with you. He throws you aside. In the heap of misery of humanity, Jesus walks through the brokenness, the scrapes, the hurts. He walks down the aisle of life and he says, I can refinish that. I can make that look brand new again. And you're standing there at the well and you know what he's looking at. You already know in your mind. He's looking at that tag. It says, as is. Abused, hurt, damaged goods. Jesus, I think, looks at humanity and says, I see your tag and I'm willing to take you as is. I think the Spirit of God here this morning is speaking to more than one heart. It says, I want to take you as is. But understand this, I want to change you and mold you and reshape you and make you into my image, into my likeness. What good news. I said, what good news. The most amazing thing is that once Jesus accepts us, he doesn't leave us in that state, but he restores us. Why do we have altar call? Why do we have, at the end of the service, in just a few moments, we're going to give an invitation. Why would we do that? It's for whosoever will. If you've been living for God for 100 years, or you've never made the first step, this is for you. Why? We ask no questions. You come as is. You may have stumbled during the week. You may have fallen back for a few months. You may never have broken up or broken open the box of your life and your spirit. No one goes around and asks you, well, why are you here? Or, man, I wonder what they did. I mean, in the Old Testament, you can see Abram. He's got his goat. He's walking down the street with his goat. And everybody, I know what Abram did. Abram's going to the temple. He's going to have the priest sacrifice the required offering. Nah. You come as is. And I'm not going to ask you. No one's going to ask you. We're not going to read your tag. We're not going to say anything except if you need to repent. And I'm sorry, God, for my sins or my life or my failures. I'm so sorry. Forgive me of my trespasses. And God, you see me as I am. You see me in my struggles. You see me in my inefficiencies. And this congregation is not tag readers. But we know a physician, and his name is Jesus. And he wants to give you the best, the best. He wants to reshape you, remake you. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Now, I've got to quit here, but Paul said, we become a new creature. Brand new. Remade. Reshaped. Reformulated. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's publicans can come and sit with Jesus, and sinners can come and sit with Jesus. Because he is the healer and reshaper of our lives. I want you to stand reverently. Would you just stand reverently? Don't disturb the spirit, the presence of God. Don't be going in and out of the sanctuary. Don't use this as an opportunity to escape. Remember, we're not tag readers. Remember that God can change your life and heal you. But you have to open up that box. You have to open up your heart. You have to open up your life. And if you insist on keeping yourself closed in, I've got something to tell you, and I don't want to hurt you, but you can never get what you're seeking for until you open up your heart to Jesus Christ. You see, they came to Jesus. Jesus did not run out in the streets and says, come on, guys, hey, I want to buy you a hamburger. He didn't chase anybody down. You and me have to come to Jesus. And he will not get up and change tables. He will not be embarrassed by you. Amen? Are you ready? Are you ready to come? To stand with Jesus? Are you ready to come to his table? Are you ready to come to his table? You see, they came. No one chased them. No one ran them down. And if you're not willing to open up your heart to Jesus, he can't really do a whole lot for you until you open up. First thing I want us to do, I want you to just kind of raise your hand. It doesn't matter how high it is, but just raise your hand. That's a sign of surrendering. Maybe left hand, both hands together. That's just a little sign of surrendering. Let him look into your heart. Let him look into your spirit right now. What do you think, Doc? What do you think the diagnosis is? What's the cure? And I listened to that woman this morning. She said, I couldn't believe it. In other words, she couldn't accept the fact that she had no cancer. Don't be a person that cannot accept the forgiveness of God. Hands raised. Come on, one more time, let's raise it. Sign of surrendering. No one's going to read your tag this morning. Child of God or have not made that commitment yet, I'm going to give you an invitation to join me. Join me up around this altar this morning. For healing you, reshaping you, remaking you. And if you need something from Jesus, I'm asking you to join me around this altar this morning. Would you do that? Come on. No one's going to read your tag. No one's going to read your tag this morning. We'll pray with you. Ask God's blessing in your life. Asking God to work on what needs to be worked on and change what needs. You know, that woman at the well, she knew. The woman that came to the Pharisee's house to open up the box, the ointment, the anointing. She knew what she wanted to do. She knew she wanted to bless Jesus with the most precious ointment that she had. Maybe the most precious thing you have is praise and thankfulness and worship. Come on, church. We're not reading tags this morning.